3 days and counting as relief supplies begin to flow up to the worst areas in Nepal, but by no means has the need been satisfied. The death count continues to climb from last weekend's earthquake, and aftershocks continue. Officials now believe that more than 3,800 people have died. Whole villages have been razed to the ground, displacing people whose families in many cases had lived there for centuries. Ellen Berry is on the ground in Kathmandu. She's the South Asia Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. Ellen confirmed for us that indeed, the ground is still shaking.
In general, it's settled down, but we did actually just have a little aftershock about 2 or 3 minutes ago. You know, the people who went through the Saturday earthquake are still extremely apprehensive about any movement. So you see people run out almost immediately after any little jolt. People are still on edge.
And when you're conditioned to expect the earth to essentially liquefy in front of you, you don't know what to expect. Even if things last only a few seconds, you're really catapulted back into the first moments of the original earthquake.
Right. I mean, the on Sunday night, practically no one wanted to sleep inside, and I had to step over I don't know how many supine bodies before I got into my hotel room because everyone was just too scared to be inside a building. Actually, last night, people started to go inside. Some people are returning to their houses because the last day and a half has been pretty quiet. But it all depends on what happens over the next, 24 to 48 hours.
Kathmandu is the center of the relief effort, but certainly not the center of the devastation. What is the challenge of building a network to actually get supplies to the areas that reports are saying villages are completely destroyed? People will never live there again.
Right. I mean, at the beginning, some people were saying that that Kathmandu had sort of dodged a bullet because for many years they've worried about a, quote unquote, big one here that sort of wiped out huge numbers of people. It wasn't like that here. Much of the city, remained intact. But I think what we've seen the last few days is that the death toll is going up really steadily and quite quickly because they're beginning to understand what happened in the villages. They're cut off from the center by landslides in many cases. So just, I think, late yesterday or perhaps early today, Médecins Sans Frontières managed to get into Gorkha, which is the area that my colleague Tom Fuller was in yesterday and actually filed a really quite comprehensive report about what he had seen. The people there feel very isolated. They are burying their dead in great number, and they are running out of food and water.
The refugee potential here, where do people in Nepal go if there's this kind of a disaster? I mean, I would think Kathmandu would be first on the list.
Yeah, I mean, and there's already sort of a good deal of work towards building a number of camps, I think more than a dozen camps in Kathmandu. I think what is going to be much more difficult is building the camps for those people who live in mountain villages. These are places where you can't even land a fixed-wing aircraft, so everything that goes in and out has to go by chopper. And in fact, the choppers haven't been able to land for the last few days because whenever the weather is bad, and the weather is bad, that's just not an option. So they've been airlifting some supplies like medicines and some food and tarpaulins in there. But it's a lot of guesswork to figure out where these things are needed and which of the villages are in the worst distress.
What's the sense of the city in Kathmandu before we go? The feeling, yes, people have expected that something like this for a long time, but this is a place with a very special relationship to the land and the earth.
I mean, the problem is that people have been sleeping in parks, in tents, under tarpaulins, and some of them actually can't go back to their houses because there are big cracks up the wall. And they know that if there's another shake like that first and then the second shake, that that some of the houses are going to come down. So, I've interviewed a lot of people who are like dashing back home to get rice and then dashing out. And what's the long-term plan for these guys? There are already issues with a kind of bottleneck at the airport, which makes it very hard for the planes to land and deliver aid. I mean, the aid is going to come, but there's all kinds of distribution problems.
Ellen Berry is South Asia Bureau Chief for our partner in the New York Times, speaking to us from Kathmandu. Ellen, thanks so much.
Thank you.